This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. We're just a little over 36 hours away from the start of the 2017 Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C. In fact, we're broadcasting from the Omni Shoreham Hotel, the site of this year's Values Voter Summit. And guess what? There's still time to register and join us as we seize the moment and drain the swamp. Go to TonyPerkins.com to find out more. We've got a great lineup of speakers, including President Donald Trump, who will address the summit on Friday. Again, find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. But for today, we have, we have a power-packed program. From immigration reform to tax reform, President Trump is pushing his agenda for America. And at the center of many of these policy debates is our good friend and conservative leader, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. He'll join us in just a moment to discuss these topics and give us a preview of his address at this weekend's Values Voter Summit. And conservatives are growing impatient with Congress and the lack of progress in regards to President Trump's conservative agenda. Ken Cuccinelli, who is the president of the Senate Conservative Fund, will be here with an update about his call for Senate leadership to step down. And rounding out the bottom of the hour, best-selling author and conservative commentator Laura Ingraham will be here to talk about her new book, Billionaire at the Barricades, her new television program on Fox News Channel, and, yep, you guessed it, the Values Voter Summit. She'll once again be one of our featured speakers. So we got a great program lined up for you. Also going to talk about the Boy Scouts making a major announcement today. They will now admit girls. Does this come as any surprise? We'll talk about it here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, a new poll shows a majority of Americans support President Trump's immigration policies, his proposals. Among other aspects, some 82% of voters support a law that would strengthen sentencing penalties for illegals who had previously been deported. With us now is Congressman Mark Meadows. He represents the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina. He's the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus and, as I mentioned earlier, a speaker at this weekend's Values Voter Summit. Congressman Meadows, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you. I look forward to being with all those that are either tuning in or will be at the Values Voter Summit here in just, like you said, 36 hours. But as we talk about what's happening on Capitol Hill, we just came off the House floor with votes, and so it's great to join you.
Well, you said, Congressman, recently that if Congress does not create a permanent solution for one aspect of immigration, but it's been in the news, the deferred action for childhood arrivals, known as DACA, nearly 80,000 participants would face deportation. I'm sorry, 800,000 participants would face deportation. What do you propose?
Well, we've actually been working very, very closely, Tony, with the administration to try to make sure that not only we handle that in a compassionate way, but that we also look at really the source of this. And it's not only a wall that, as you know, President Trump talked about building the wall. It's not just about a secure southern border. It's about internal enforcement. It's about limiting or getting rid of chain migration. And what the American people have heard over and over and over again is a promise that it's going to be fixed in the future. Mm-hmm. And yet we continue to have to deal with the whole issue of immigration, whether it be illegal or legal immigration. And so it is time that we deal with it once and for all. The president's six-month time frame actually puts a good not only goal but really a time frame for Congress where we have to act. So I'm working very closely with Chairman Goodlatte and others on our task force and the president, Stephen Miller, to try to make sure that we've got good conservative policy that is indeed compassionate but deals with the problem.
Well, Congressman, you talk about if we don't deal with this problem, you know, it's going to only get worse. I mean, we've been kicking this can down the road for nearly 20 years, if not longer. This is much like the national debt. I mean, we're up there at $20 trillion in debt. We, there's on the table reform of our tax policy, which could increase economic activity. but there's also a spending problem that we have. And it appears to me that Congress continually kicks these major problems down the road. But the clock is ticking. How much more time do we have to go before these problems are just too big and they implode?
Well, we really have not got any time left. We're in overtime, if you want to put it in a football vernacular. You know, we're actually in overtime. The problem is we don't have a tied score. We're actually, as you mentioned, $20 trillion in debt, and it's going up exponentially each and every year. And yet we kick the can down the road. This is the land of promise, not to be confused with the promised land. This is the land of promise where they promise you that they will do it next year, or they'll do it on the next critical vote, or they'll do it sometime in the future. The time is now. We've got to make sure that we get this done. And I don't know that there's a whole lot of people that are serious about addressing. You mentioned at the lead-in about the swamp. We've got to drain the swamp and make sure that we have backbone. If not, the very republic that we love will cease to exist.
Well, to continue your football analogy, I think the concern that many Americans have is that there are some in Congress that are going to take a knee when it comes to these major issues that will define the future of our country.
Well, they have taken a knee. Sadly, they will continue to take a knee when they really need to be standing up and not only honoring this great country that we have the fortunate and blessed opportunity to call home, but we need to make sure that we take the tough vote. That's what statesmen do. That's what all members of Congress should be doing, and if we're not willing to do that, then we need to give our voting card to someone who is willing to do that. And yet it is your listeners, Tony, that have to make sure that their voice is heard for every member of Congress and every senator to say that this is an important thing that we must deal with.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, broadcasting live at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C., the site of the upcoming Values Voter Summit, just less than 36 hours away. We're going to be cranking things up. Still time for you to register and be a part of this great event. Go to TonyPerkins.com, register to vote, as I mentioned earlier. President Donald Trump will be one of our speakers, kicking us off on Friday morning. Our guest, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, will also be one of our keynotes starting us off on Friday morning. Let me shift gears, Mark, to the issue of tax reform. The House, and you played a key role in this, they did move to repeal Obamacare. They took it over to the Senate. The Senate fumbled it, did not move the ball down the field. Now we're on tax reform. I think it's critical for the Republicans to be able to put any points on the board to get tax reform. This is in a sweet spot for you. You have a business background, very successful in business. Will Congress be able to do significant and substantive tax reform?
Well, we must. We've got to deliver. You know, it never hurts to do what you told the people that you would do, and that is to be bold and make sure that we get the economy rolling again. I can tell you that we're working very hard, not just with our own Freedom Caucus and other members of the GOP. Jim Jordan and I are reaching out to Democrats and trying to find some type of coalition that from some of the Blue Dog Democrats that would see that doing aggressive, bold tax reform actually puts more money in everybody's pocket. And what we're talking about is putting more of the hardworking American taxpayers' money back in their own pocket. It's not our money, it's theirs. And as we recognize this, it's critically important that we perform. And I can tell you there's some critical dates coming up. I'm hopeful that the bill gets marked up out of Ways and Means in October. But if we're not substantially moving and debating legislation by Thanksgiving, it is not going to bode well for us in 2018.
Now, Mark Meadows, the way I see it, in going back to my years in government, government itself is, you know, it's going to consume whatever is available. In fact, our federal government obviously consuming more than is available, $20 trillion debt. I'm all for tax reform. I think it needs to happen. I do believe it'll grow our economy, which means more revenue for government. However, I think we're also at a point we've got to see government more fiscally responsible in its spending. Is that going to be discussed in the process of this tax reform and reducing government revenue? Are we going to see any discussion about how we spend our money?
Well, sadly, there's not a whole lot of people that want to talk about actually reforming things and making the types of cuts and reductions in our fiscal policy that would actually help with tax reform and doing that. The budget we passed would reduce our mandatory spending by a little over $203 billion, so a pretty sizable number. As it goes to the Senate, we're not very optimistic that the senators will join us in saying we can make these reductions without a big fight. And so we're looking forward to working with them and trying to make sure that we get some curb on the spending. But in the bottom line is that if we don't, you can't just grow your way out of a deficit.
Right. Right.
You're going to have to show some fiscal restraint. And sadly, there's one thing that Washington, D.C. does well, and that's spend the taxpayers' money. And putting themselves on any kind of a budget, like moms and dads would do on their own budget, just doesn't seem to happen. I mean, people come here and all of a sudden they think that it is funny money. They start teaching their kids, I would think, to count $1 billion, $1 billion, $2 billion, $3 billion, and instead of $1, $2, $3 billion, and it's real money, and it really takes money out of moms, dads, aunts and uncles, grandparents, nieces and nephews' ability to provide for families, and so it's we're serious about it. We've got to hold the line, but sometimes that's not met with as much applause as just another special earmark coming down the way.
Yeah, I would go even further from taking out of the pockets of moms and dads and aunts and uncles. It's more, I think, significantly taking money out of the future pockets of our children. I mean, we're eating our children's bread, their seed money, really, in many ways. We're consuming that with this debt spending. Hey, we're almost out of time. Mark Meadows, I want to get you to give us a little preview of what you're going to be talking about on the main stage at the Values Voter Summit on Friday.
Well, I'm looking forward to being with all those that are either tuning in or watching or participating in the Values Voter Summit. It's all about how your voice actually matters and what is happening with the Trump agenda in 2017.
Well, we look forward to seeing you here at the Values Voter Summit. And always, Mark Meadows, we appreciate your leadership on Capitol Hill and your friendship of the family.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you. God bless America.
All right. That's Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right. Coming up next, a group of conservative leaders are calling for the entire GOP Senate leadership to step down for not keeping their promises. Ken Cuccinelli is leading the charge, and he joins us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. There's more to come. Don't touch that dial.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. We need you in Washington, D.C. That's right. America is built on the courageous spirit of its people, and it is our duty to preserve the great nation by sustaining religious liberty, defending the unborn, and protecting the family. Take a stand for faith, family, and freedom at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Hear from invited and confirmed speakers like President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Loesch, Franklin Graham, Ollie North, Alveda King, Kevin Sorbo, Bill Robertson, and many more. This is the place to network and meet up with people and organizations that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues that will shape the future of our country. Join us at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. I remind you, the Values Voters Summit getting cranked up Friday morning here in Washington, D.C., the Omnishorum Hotel. To find out how you can be a part of it, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right. A lot happening here in Washington. We have... Today, a press conference taking place in a tough letter to the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Leaders of several conservative groups are calling on him and the other four members of the Senate Republican leadership team to vacate their positions or to be ousted because they have not implemented the conservative agenda that they promised. Joining us now is Ken Cuccinelli, one of the signers of the letter. He is president of the Senate Conservative Fund. Ken is the former attorney general of Virginia and the state's 2013 Republican gubernatorial candidate. He is fully committed to helping elect the next wave of conservative leaders in the Senate, and he joins us now. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you.
All right, Ken, you guys had a... press conference today, as I understand, to call for the leadership to either step aside or be ousted in the Senate so that the conservative agenda that they ran on and got elected on could be fulfilled.
Well, and that's the key, Tony, is, you know, they have set the benchmark themselves and failed to meet it. And in some instances, especially with respect to Mitch McConnell, it's borders on quite intentional. I mean, here's a guy who ran and told us he wanted to get rid of Obamacare root and branch, and he was totally committed to that. Well, we can go back not too many years and see him fighting Republicans trying to keep exactly that campaign promise. And so now he gets what he said were his conditions, a Republican House, Senate, and President, and he doesn't deliver on the repeal of Obamacare. And the list goes on. I mean, they've only approved seven judges. There are more vacancies on the judicial bench, the federal bench, today than when President Trump assumed office. That's incredible. There are 50 nominees who they have not voted on. 50. This a complete failure comes along with leadership that has viciously attacked its own conservative base. I mean, look at what they did in Alabama
right.
in the recent Senate race. This is a deep red state where there's no risk of losing a Republican seat. Mitch McConnell spent 10 to 20 million to 30 million, depends which numbers you believe, millions of dollars to really just keep a senator in the caucus who would vote for him for majority leader. It had nothing to do with the Senate majority. They spent $0, Tony, actually advocating for the repeal of Obamacare. You know what the left spent fighting the repeal of Obamacare? $15 million. Just about the same amount of money that Mitch McConnell spent just in Alabama, in a deep red state, just to keep his own toadstool on a voting bench there for the caucus.
That was about his
own power, not advancing.
That's an interesting comparison. I had not thought about that. When you look at the amount of money that was spent in the Alabama race on behalf of Luther Strange, who was appointed by the governor when Jeff Sessions was nominated to the United as the Attorney General. So I guess you're saying, and that makes sense, what if they would have spent that money on building support for the repeal of Obamacare on either the weak sisters, the Republicans who were against it, or even the Democratic members? The outcome could have been much different.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mitch McConnell says, oh, you know, we just fell one vote short. No. You fell one vote short, Mitch McConnell. And I mean, you remember Daryl Glenn in the 2016 cycle, Tony. He was an outstanding conservative nominee in Colorado, one of the only two flippable states for Republicans in the last election cycle. Good conservative, African-American even, which is a bonus, of course. Air Force Academy graduate running in Colorado. And in that state, Mitch McConnell provided and led the spending of the monumental amount of $0 to help conservative Daryl Glenn simply because he was a conservative. And at the same time, they spent over $25 million trying to advance mushy moderate Joe Heck. In the other flippable state, and that's Nevada, both candidates lost by 3 points. Well, if you'd spent half of that money in Colorado, you'd have Senator Daryl Glenn, and you'd have had the vote. You say, gosh, we just missed by one vote, because Daryl Glenn would have been there. And we could have had real repeal instead of any of these watered-down versions, which is really what Mitch McConnell's aiming for now.
So the bottom line...
Policy failure, it's the vicious attacks on conservatives coupled with the policy failure that really requires this leadership to step down. They cannot govern, and they cannot lead.
So bottom line is what you and the others that were the Senate Conservative Fund and others who have signed on this For America, David Bozell, is that we need conservatives in the Senate who will actually pull the plug and drain the swamp, not just talk about it.
That's exactly right. Look, the McConnell leadership formula, their whole gang of five, is they campaign as us and they govern as
we didn't bleep him out for what he said. We just lost his signal.
You
faded out there. I thought maybe we had to bleep you.
Sorry. Yeah, well, I try to do that before I speak because this gets me pretty fired up. But, look, they campaign as conservatives and they govern as liberals. And it's important to remember that when you talk about liberals and conservatives, the Senate Republican leadership fits in the batch called liberals. I mean, look, the House just succeeded in getting a good bill through the 20-week abortion bill. And
right.
Senator John Cornyn, the number two guy in the Senate Republican leadership, declared it dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Where's that leadership for conservatives?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Ken Cuccinelli, thanks for joining us. Great to talk to you.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right, Ken Cuccinelli. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Yeah, John Cornyn said it's not one of our priorities in the short term. That is the pain bill, ending abortion after 5 months. Well, is it a late term priority? What is it? All right, we're going to talk more on the other side of this break. Laura Ingraham joins us next. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this. What is it? It's Thursday. All right. Is it Thursday? Okay. It's Wednesday. I'm losing track of time. Yes, it's Wednesday. And we're just less than 36 hours away from the Values Voter Summit. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. You've seen her on TV, heard her on radio as a conservative commentator. And if you come to the Values Voter Summit, you will get to see her in person. Laura Ingraham is a New York Times bestselling author and has a new program coming up on Fox News. And she joins us now on Washington Watch. Laura, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, good to be with you. How you doing?
It's good. I don't think we've seen each other since the inauguration, but it's good to see you again.
Talk to you. I'm excited to sign my. I'm going to be signing Billionaire at the Barricades at the Values Voters event as well. So I'll be signing books, mixing it up with your folks. We're going to have a good time.
Well, let's first talk about that book. Give us some insight into the book.
I thought it was important for people who were kind of puzzled by the rise of Trump, or they're worried about how well Trump is doing or whether he's going to be able to push his agenda through. I thought it was important to put a historical frame around this period of time. And, mm-hmm. of course, I work for President Reagan. I clerk for Justice Thomas. I helped advise informally Mitt Romney in 2012 when he was running for president. I take you back behind the scenes of the Republican National Convention after I gave my speech and my run-in with Ted Cruz when he was reluctant to, of course, endorse President Trump. And I take all these personal experiences and the historical backdrop of this populist movement that helped Reagan take the South and turn all these Democrats, these blue-collar Democrats, Republican. It helped Ross Perot, of course, gathered 23% of the vote. And many people believe denied George H.W. Bush the presidency. Of course, the rise of Pat Buchanan in 1992. You had Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, all who understood that without a vibrant respect for the working class people of this country, the folks I came from, the people I lived with and grew up with, mm-hmm. if government doesn't work for them, then the whole system's going to blow. And this election should be the final wake-up call, really, to especially the Republican Party. I think the Democrats are sadly almost lost at this point. But for the Republican Party to have gotten so removed from the hopes and dreams of patriotic, faithful American citizens is really disturbing. You know, no one voted for open borders. No one voted for these trade deals that exported all these jobs overseas. We voted for candidates who we thought were going to put America's interests first. And Trump came along and held up a mirror to all these people and said, "You guys have failed. You guys have failed Americans. You
right.
You might have had your heart in the right place, but my goodness, we've seen America start to go down the tubes. Our culture, our values, our borders, our rule of law, the economy. China's on the rise, and the Middle East is in ruin. We got to do better." And so I put that historical frame going all the way back to really Nixon and the silent majority, how he campaigned for them, all the way up to present day.
In many ways, Donald Trump he snuck past a lot of people. No one expected a billionaire to be able to connect with that forgotten man. As you discuss, you know, I could think Rick Santorum clearly got a lot of that support when he gave Mitt Romney a run for his money for the nomination. No one, I think, anticipated that Donald Trump would be able to do what he did.
Well, I think a few of us anticipated it. I mean, I think not many, but I think I was one of them, and there were a handful of populist conservatives who, many of them, were the original Reaganites, by the way. Who saw, Donald Trump, for all of his flaws, was probably going to do more for the Christian conservative cause than certainly, I think Jeb Bush would have done, or certainly more than, John Kasich would have done. Even though he's not a man who kind of comes from that, obviously doesn't come from that background, he somehow connected with it. And I don't know if it's the fact that he's kind of a street smart Manhattan guy who never really fit in with the in crowd, even though he was a celebrity. A lot of the business types really looked down on him, and maybe he kind of had a little bit of a attitude because of that. I don't know, but something in him helped him realize that if we kept going down the same kind of Bush Republican path, we would just mm-hmm. keep losing national elections, and that's why Jeb couldn't win his home state, and that's why Governor Walker in Wisconsin couldn't win his home state. Not that they're bad guys, but that they were not connecting with the hopes and the dreams of men and women who no longer believe the Republican Party really was representing them very effectively. And so he stepped into that void and he hammered it. And he never gave up, which is incredible.
Yeah. And he hasn't.
No.
He continues. And he's one of the things that I think that has taken the left by surprise, and I'm going to talk about this later, but I don't think they thought he was going to win. And then secondly, when he did win, I don't think they anticipated he would actually do what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, I think they thought he would just kind of morph into a big liberal, a liberal Democrat and forget all the things he campaigned on, but not quite.
No, not at all. Laura Ingraham, looking forward to seeing you here at the Values Voter Summit this weekend.
Can't wait. See you later. See you soon.
All right. Laura Ingraham, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And as she mentioned, she'll be doing a book signing here at the Values Voter Summit with her new book, Billionaire at the Barricades. All right. When we come back, announcement today by the Boy Scouts. This shouldn't take you by surprise. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break, and we'll get to some of your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. We're broadcasting live from the Omni Shoreham Hotel, the site of this year's Values Voter Summit. In fact, it's the site of all the Values Voter Summits. Gets underway this Friday. And President Donald Trump will kick us off Friday morning. To find out more about all the speakers, I got Phil Robertson coming from Duck Dynasty. My good friend Congressman Steve Scalise, the Majority Whip, will be here on Friday as well. So great lineup of speakers. Go to TonyPerkins.com. But not only that, I mean, we have breakout sessions where you can connect on various topics and issues. And this is an event. It's truly a coalition event. There's a number of co-sponsors, American Family Association, AFR, they're a part of this. We've just got so many friends that are a part of this. Bot Radio is actually sponsoring the Radio Row. We'll be broadcasting live from the event, and so will others. So it's a great gathering of conservatives. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. It's one of the top conservative events in the country, and it is the top social conservative event. Of course, we'll be dealing with not just the social issues. We'll be dealing with the fiscal issues. We'll be talking a lot about foreign policy. General Boykin will be leading a panel on threats to our national security. Gary Bauer, also one of the sponsors, he'll be talking, leading a discussion on the threats of radical Islam. So a lot going on this weekend, and you can be a part of it. Nothing like it anywhere else. Go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. Still time to register. We'll save you a seat. All right, this came out today. The Boy Scouts of America announced that girls will soon be allowed to become Cub Scouts and to earn the coveted rank of Eagle Scout. They'll be able to become Boy Scouts. Girls will be Boy Scouts. The organization, they'll be able to get the highest honor of the organization, which I mentioned is the Eagle Scout Award. The Scouting Board of Directors voted unanimously to make the historic change in an organization that has been primarily for boys since its founding more than 100 years ago. Now, what was the point of the Boy Scouts? I mean, 100 years ago, what was in the mind of those who created it? Well, it's pretty simple. It was to prepare boys to be men so they could be soldiers. Now, I know that is probably harsh for some sensitive ears out there. But that's the reality. That's what the Boy Scouts were there. It was to help boys make that transition to manhood so that they could become better soldiers, warriors. Oh, I know that's not politically correct. But that's, look, societies, civilizations survive because there are those that are willing to protect it. And you go back to the very beginning, the Boy Scouts, and the thought was, you know what, we need men. This was, I think it was after World War One. We need boys that are better prepared to serve in our nation's military. And so that's what gave rise to the Boy Scouts. And it's been doing a great job up until about the last 10, 15 years. But this should come as no surprise. I mean, this is the slippery slope of political correctness that we often talk about. You know, they say, well, we just want boys who are uncertain about their gender. They're homosexuals, and we want them to be able to be a part of scouting because they need that experience. And so they changed the policy. Well, they came back, and then they changed the policy that we need to have homosexual scout leaders. And they began to drop in numbers rapidly because parents began pulling their boys out. Churches that really were some of the primary chartered many of these troops pulled out and went to Trail Life USA, which is a Christian scouting program that actually we were a part of helping launch. It's headquartered in Florida. John Stenberger is the, I believe he's still the chairman of that. They're doing great. They are, in fact, I think we're going to get somebody on this week talk about it. But they are growing by leaps and bounds. Still a rigorous program so that it really does have substance. And but it's the boys are not only physically challenged, they're spiritually challenged to grow because you can't address the outward till you address the inward. And so it's a great program. Trail Life USA, you should find out more about it. But this is an example of where the left's agenda leads us. You know, we're told it's just, well, we just want to make this tweak, and then that's it. We're now in a very, very short period of time, about 5 years, to where the Boy Scouts are now going to allow girls to join. I mean, you're not going to be able to call it Boy Scouts anymore. They're going to drop the title. It's going to be Scouts. There's more to come. They will continue until there's nothing left. Nothing but the symbolism without substance. I mean, we saw the same thing when it came to the issue of same-sex marriage. Okay, let me refresh your memory here. The arguments, I mean, I debated this thing so many times, and people said, well, why shouldn't I be able to marry the one I love? And how does me being able to marry my partner affect you? We just want the ability to marry the person we love, okay? And it's not going to affect you. I mean, we heard that over and over and over and over again. Well, tell that to the Kleins, who have lost their business, their bakery, because they simply said, we will bake you a cake, but not a wedding cake, because we're not going to be a part of a same-sex wedding, because we're Christians. And they went after them with the force of government, trying to bankrupt them, drove them out of business. Let's talk about Bernell Stutzman, the florist, who not only lost her business, but may even lose her home, because those who wanted to force her to be a part of a same-sex marriage have used the weight of government to go after her. Let's talk about our children, who are now, the indoctrination has intensified in our public schools to where kindergarten, first grade, second grade students being read books that celebrate not only same-sex marriage, but we have classrooms in which children, 6, 7 years old, are announcing that they're coming out as a different gender. And parents are being told they have no right to say anything about what happens in the classroom. It's not going to affect you. We have the Obama administration on their way out, forcing a bathroom policy on all the schools across America, saying that you know, kids could use whatever bathroom they wanted, regardless of their gender. Which and that was not just the bathrooms, that was locker rooms, that was showers, that was field trips in hotel rooms. Fortunately, the Department of Justice here rolling back a lot of those policies, and the left going crazy about that, as if once Barack Obama made a unilateral decision that that was to be the law forever. That's why the left is so angry, because what Donald Trump is doing, not only is he doing what he said he was going to do, which is making a lot of people upset, but he has the courage to do something that no other Republican in my lifetime has been willing to do. And I served in the Marine Corps under Ronald Reagan, and he did a lot for this country, and he stopped a lot of bad stuff after Jimmy Carter. But he did not undo a lot of the bad stuff. You know, he had said he was going to undo and eliminate the Department of Education. That didn't happen. And don't get me wrong, I love Ronald Reagan, and I think he was a great president. But Donald Trump is actually not just stopping the bad stuff that Barack Obama did. He is undoing it. And that has sent the left, I mean, it's made them bonkers. I mean, they have gone bananas. And that's why there is this, every turn, they're attacking him. I was in the news feeds that I get, I was looking at this rapper, Eminem. I'm sure most of you don't know him. You probably heard of him. But I was watching his this tirade he went on what they call rap. I don't know how they call that a talent. It was demonic. It was demonic on his attack on President Trump. And this is daily. It's amazing that he is able to stand up to this stuff. I was at the White House today. And, I mean, it's like they're under siege by the left. Folks, you need to pray for him. And do we agree with everything? No, and there's going to be a lot of policy things we disagree on. But I'm telling you what, when you look at what he's doing on religious freedom and what he's doing in our nation's military to stop this social experimentation that Barack Obama began, treating our men and women in the military as if they were lab rats, I mean, you look at that, this is taking a lot of courage. And I'm asking you to pray for him, but I'm also asking you to get your members of Congress to get in line, and let's seize this moment and take back some of this cultural territory that's left, because, I mean, our republic is teetering on the edge. And I believe had we not seen the outcome of this election and Hillary Clinton had won, we would be over the edge. And I believe a lot of Christian broadcasters and others advocating for these policies would all be working on their prison ministries. All right, I'm going to take a call or two here. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. We're going to go to Arkansas, where Eugene is on the line. Eugene, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. Glad to be on the air. I'm a retired veteran, Sergeant First Class, a retired United States Army. I was in the Boy Scouts in the 60s. And everything I've been hearing you say, I agree with. The Bible's very clear on morality. George Washington himself, during his presidency, said it's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible, end quote. And he also said in his farewell address, I know I looked it up online and read every bit of it, and I love where he said, of all the dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, that religion, he meant Christianity, and morality, he meant biblical morality, are indispensable supports.
Right.
In vain would a person claim the tribute of patriotism should they seek to subvert these two great pillars. So Washington said clearly, if you're not a if you're not getting in line with God and his book that he authored, the Holy Bible, then you're, and you seek to subvert these two great pillars that he mentioned, you are not a true patriot. And in my book, if you're not a patriot, you're a traitor. But the Boy Scouts, I tell you, this is really sad. If we want God's blessings and his protection on this nation, which the founding fathers enjoyed, and when people asked them what do they attribute their success to, this is what they said, that their reliance on God, their trust in God, they're applying God's word and his principles to their actions was the reason that God blessed them and gave them the victory over a much more powerful nation, the greatest military might on the face of the earth at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need God's protection today just as much as Washington and Adams.
More so. I mean, I think military leaders and foreign policy experts have said we live in the most dangerous time in more than a generation. And, I mean, when you look at what's happening in North Korea, the threats, you know, even from Russia, even though they're kind of a hollow shell in many ways, we are in a very, very dangerous time. Eugene, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. And thank you for your service. Eugene, thank you for your service to our country. And he made reference to George Washington's farewell address to the country, which up until recently was the most studied document as a treatise of government. I mean, this was kind of George Washington. He actually wrote it after his first 4 years. He had help with some of his team, and he was planning on just spending 4 years and then going out. They appealed to him to stay another 4 years, and he said, okay, I'll stay another four, and that's it. They updated it, and it was not a speech that he gave, so it wasn't an address per se. It was published. And he did say, he said, these two pillars, religion and morality. And he said, don't think you can have morality without religion. And to Eugene's point, it was a reference to Christianity, not a particular denomination, but the Christian faith. That's our history. I actually had the privilege of going to the National Archives and seeing a number of these documents and actually saw his initial acceptance speech, his first inaugural address, actually handwritten. It was pretty fascinating. All right, folks, out of time. Let me encourage you, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Become a part of this year's Values Voter Summit. Sorry, folks, didn't get to the rest of the calls there. I just had to talk about this thing with the Boy Scouts and where it leads. Folks, we got to wake up. This idea that these minor deviations from biblical transcendent morality won't lead us down this path of destruction is nonsense. It will. All right, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, well, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.